You're like really pretty.
Okay.
When I said pretty, Gigi rolled over.
Oh, sweet Gigi, you are also beautiful, sweet angel.
You are. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
This fucking guy.
Did it. We're recording.
We sounded like Janet.
We did it.
Amazing. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
How are you, Carmen?
I am doing well. How are you, Caitlin?
I'm good. It's been a week. It's only Wednesday. And I have this large goblet of wine.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Remember when I told you I was going to stop drinking during the week? Oh, it's, well.
You know, it is what it is.
I'm an adult. I do what I want.
Yeah. Drink your drinky drinks while we're talking about history. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what's going on. So I got some information that there's some dead air in the episode we aired today. Between the theme
song. There's more for you.
Between the theme song and us introducing ourselves. And I was like, yeah, I know. I just, one, didn't have time to fix it. And two, I didn't want to. We never said we were perfect.
We are not audio engineers.
I hate these unfair, unrealistic standards that are being forced upon us by the patriarchy yet again.
Thank you.
I mean, it's bullshit. So, yeah, we know our audio quality is not great. We are working on it. This is
big podcast tries to inflict these unfair representations of podcasts because they got their monies. We ain't got no monies.
Yeah, we literally have no monies. Carmen doesn't have a job.
No monies. No, I literally quit my job this week. No monies.
Yeah, and I'm swimming in debt. So, like, how dare you? So,
dare you try to tell us what our podcast should sound like? Also, though, we're glad you're listening.
Yeah, we're super glad. We have had lots of listeners, which has been really awesome. We have some reviews, 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Oh my God.
I don't think it's just our friends, which is exciting.
That's so nice and lovely.
I know. I mean, I don't know who they are. It doesn't tell me, but
it doesn't matter. We appreciate it nonetheless.
We love it. We don't list it. If you want this show to be better, you can visit us on Patreon at patreon.com/thisfuckingguy, I think is the URL. Yep. This fucking guy pod. There will be a link in the description of the episode. Like, all of our links are there. And that's where you can give us monies to do things like host our show, which costs like $24 a month on the platform we're using. It can help us get a website. It can help us get better audio equipment so that we can actually talk and then you don't hear weird buzzing sounds or like our dogs or like weird feedback.
Maybe you're probably still going to hear our dogs, though.
Yeah, probably. But then maybe we could pay Alex to edit our podcast instead of me having to do it because I don't like editing.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, look, there are a lot of things that go into this little passion project of ours. And so if you would like to contribute to the arts.
Yes, we are the arts. Are we the arts?
We are the art. We are the art. I mean, you certainly look like your art all the time because you bang in.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Oh my God.
I guess we should introduce ourselves.
I feel like we did already, but that's okay. Hi, I'm Carmen.
I'm Caitlin.
And this is This Fucking Guy.
Welcome to This Fucking Guy. Wait, I have to show you this.
Why are you upside down? Why you even do that? Why you even do that, Gigi?
Oh, time to lick all of Mom's lotion off of her arms.
Oh.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for that. That was nice.
That's when you, you taste and smell good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think if there's any other show news. Follow us on social media.
Yeah. Hit us up on all the things.
It's pretty much everything is this fucking guy pod or this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Without the U or the C. I don't know why I did that, but I did.
Well, I like it.
It's too late to change it. This things are just happening.
Things are happening. We never said we were professionals. This is very on brand for us.
It really is. This is really for us. We're just happening to be recording our conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I think we said that in episode one. This is just a way for you and me to hang out for like an hour and a half a week.
Scheduled hour of discussion time.
Yeah. And if other people on the interwebs listen to it, great.
Yeah. The interweb is full of great things.
Yeah.
I do. Oh my God, this dog.
ZG. What is happening? What?
I don't know. She's like, I want to record too. If only you could talk. Could you fucking imagine?
Oh God.
Hi, I'm Gigi.
So I did want to tell you something. So Kate, shout out to BFF Kate.
Yes. We love Kate.
Hey Kate, badass lady lawyer. She had a great suggestion, which I loved. And I think it's a great thing for us to implement. So I'm going to read you what she said.
Yes.
She was like, okay, she goes, I had a thought for the way to end it. You could bring it back to present day and share an odd or interesting person you met that week or a weird encounter. I know. Brilliant, right?
I love this. God damn you, love Kate. It. You're so brilliant.
I know. I was like, shut your face. You're so smart.
I know. She should come on the show.
Yeah, she definitely is going to come on the show at some point. So we have to just start noodling about that for end times.
Dig
it. I think that's it. So do you want to tell me a story?
I do want to tell you a story.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I'm going to tell you all about Hedy Lamarr.
Yes.
The 1930s, 40s film star who secretly invented Wi-Fi.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And because of the patriarchy and the military and that the world is awful, no one really knew about her until the 1990s.
Of course.
Fun.
Oh my God. All right. So
Hedy Lamarr.
So pumped. Yes, your boobs look massive.
Thank you so much. I think it's the stripy shirt that I'm wearing, but thank you so much. And no, I am not pregnant.
Thank God. That was my next question.
No, that's a major no. So Hedy Lamarr, she was born in Vienna, Austria in 1914 on November 9th. She was the only child to a pretty like successful, wealthy family. Her dad was a bank director and her mom was a pianist and like really involved in the arts. And they were, both of her parents were of Jewish descent. This will come back around later as we get towards war times.
Let me guess, Nazis.
Yes, so many Nazis. And guess what? They're the worst.
And they still are, apparently.
Yeah, super the worst. And we're still kicking it with them this much time later. Anyways, I digress. So when she was a little baby, her parents like spent lots of time with her because she was an only child, and her dad would take her on these long walks where they would talk about the inner workings of machines, like the printing press and different things like that. And then she was so interested in like machinery and how things work that they would constantly find her like taking apart her music box to figure out how it worked and putting it back together.
What a great dad to encourage that during that time.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the 20s. And he was like, hey, baby girl, let's talk about some machines.
You
and,
can
like,
do whatever you engineering. Want.
Yeah. Like, you're super smart. I love that. Let's get down with it. So she was really interested in the arts from an early age, and her mom was really artsy, so they enrolled her in like piano classes and ballet classes and acting classes. And she was also really into, like, science and math. But, of course, the world is terrible, especially at this time. So in her teenage years, her smarts became real secondary to how beautiful she was.
Of course she was.
Gorgeous woman.
Hold on.
She is incredibly beautiful.
Are you serious? Proceed.
Let us continue. So, I was talking about society being the worst. Yes. So she was super beautiful. And of course that took precedence over everything else in the fucking, you know, let's see, what would this be now? Like the early 30s. So she won a beauty contest at the age of 12.
Ew.
And this, I know, 12, barf, gross. There's going to be a lot of barf moments.
Stop sexualizing children.
Yes. Stop it. So you're going to have a lot of barf moments in the next few paragraphs of reading about Miss Sweet Sweet Hetty. It's going to be a lot of it barf inducing moments. That's number one. Okay. So this bitch was enterprising as hell. So since she was enrolled in acting classes and she was really interested in like theater and film and stuff, it was like silent film at the time. She forged a note from her mama and went to this film production company in Vienna that did like silent film production, and got herself a job as a script girl at the age of 15.
Yes. Amazing.
So super enterprising and independent as hell, which I love. So from there, she was working at the film production company. So she got like a couple of roles as extras, and then she got a speaking part, a small speaking part in 1931 when she was 16. So at this point, there's this really famous German director named Max Reinhardt who discovers her and put her in a play. And he was so impressed with her that he took her with him to Berlin, which, second barf moment, seems real gross. She was a 16-year-old girl, and this is a grown-ass man taking her from Austria to Berlin. Real upsetting. But she was cast in two films after that. So now, it's great for her career, also super shady and real gross. More papa drama.
They're fighting over a bone now, so.
Oh, that's super cool. Way to be cool about it, pups.
Just go chew that on the carpet.
Yeah, just rub it in. Make sure it's real good in those fibers.
It was like grinding against the bed frame, so this is better.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. So in 1933, she's in Berlin. Max Reinhardt took her there. She got cast in two films. She briefly marries this man who was a very, very, like, had become like an ardent fan of hers. But it didn't last very long because this is what she was quoted as saying in her autobiography. I knew very soon that I could never be an actress while I was his wife. He was the absolute matriarch. Scratch that. Run it back. Take two. He was the absolute monarch in his marriage. I was like a doll. I was a thing, some object of art, which had to be guarded and imprisoned, having no mind, no life of his own. So Hetty, my girl, was real independent.
How old was she during this marriage?
18, baby.
Oh.
Yeah. So my girl's real independent. Mm-hmm. She is not standing for this hot nonsense. But in this time, so the guy that she married was he was listed as being the third wealthiest man in Austria at the time. So he's very, very wealthy munitions dealer. Okay. And he, because this is like, now we're in like the mid 30s. He had really, really close ties to the Italian fascist government. And of course, bing, 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 Hitler.
Great.
So, yeah, good times. So, also in her autobiography, she said that both Mussolini and Hitler attended these like lavish parties they would have at their castle.
Oh
in
my God,
Vienna.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. So, super gross. But silver lining to all this terrible nonsense is that because there were always like Nazi party members in their house, and she would go to these business meetings about like munitions and weapons and shit, that she met a lot of scientists and like people who worked in technology. So it really like reawakened her love of science. And when she left the marriage in 1937, 4 years of that hot bullshit, she fled to London, and she took all of this knowledge of this shit that she had overheard in her time being with her husband, being around Nazis and terrible people, took it all with her to London.
Great. Love that.
Because she is a badass. So while she was in London, so now this is like 1937, while she's in London, she happens to meet Louis B. Mayer, the head of MGM, and because he was there scouting for talent in Europe to bring back, because they had the whole studio system back then.
Right.
So this badass bitch, I'm clapping, but I don't want to clap into my microphone, but I am clapping. This badass bitch turns down his initial offer of $125 a week because she ain't putting up for this hot nonsense. She books a ticket on the same liner back to New York as him, and then convinces this motherfucker to renegotiate her contract and gets herself a $500 a week contract.
Bitch, what?
Yes.
Get yes, it, queen. Girl. Yes. Holy get shit. Your
paper. Yes. Bad bitch.
Okay, if Hedy Lamarr can negotiate getting like over double what she was originally offered a week in what, 1930 something?
Yes.
Then you can negotiate that 15% raise at your job.
Yes, ladies, take it from baby Hedy, kicking ass. Like, what, she got fucking 22 at this point? Badass bitch, she ain't taking no first offer. Oh.
Never take the first offer.
Never take a first offer. Negotiate that shit up. You deserve it. Get your paper. So this bad bitch. So now she's like officially in the studio system. She's making movies. She's got crazy amounts of fame. Oh, shit, I left out this whole section about her first movie. Oh, my God. Dumb, dumb. Rewind.
Okay.
So, before her marriage, this is kind of the thing that makes her internationally famous. In 1933, when she was 18, she was cast in this film called Ecstasy. She
Ecstasy. Played, Ecstasy.
I know. Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
She's a naughty girl with a
bad habit for drugs. She's a slut and she knows it.
We're big Summer Heights High fans here.
This episode is sponsored by Summer Heights High, promo code fucking guy.
This episode is sponsored by Chris Lilly and all of his Australian money.
I would die. Chris Lilly, please sponsor us. Thank you.
Oh, God, please sponsor us. And let us write things for you. Anywho, Ecstasy. We got real off track. So she played the neglected wife of a really indifferent older man who goes off and has an affair. And the movie becomes like scandalous.
Ooh.
Because there were brief nude scenes and the first ever on-screen depiction of a female orgasm. Gasp!
Yes. Wait, what did she like show an ankle or something?
I don't know what nude scenes meant.
She flashed her wrist.
Yeah, there was like a bit of me. But it was promptly banned in the U.S. and Germany, but still, like, shown illicitly and in back rooms, like, all over the place, of course.
Ooh.
So it gained her super widespread fame.
Awesome. Love that.
Yes. Yeah, so now she's got this contract 4 years later with Louis B. Mayer. She's got all this international fame. She starts making movies left and right. She's, like, kicking it with Clark Gable and like all these super famous people of the time. And she ends up meeting Howard Hughes.
Yes.
So they became lovers.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. So whenever she wasn't like on set, whenever she was in her trailer, in her spare time, she was back inventing shit, and she worked on like upgrading traffic stop lights. And then also she invented this tablet that would carbonate your drink.
What?
Yeah. So apparently it tasted terrible. So it never really like went anywhere, but still she invented that. It's amazing. And so while she was dating Howard Hughes, his planes, he couldn't figure out how to get his racing planes to be faster, and they were really, really like squared off designs. And so while they were dating, she like, she's so goddamn brilliant. So she looked at like fish and birds and like aerodynamic things and put together all these sketches for a new design for his planes that would like incorporate a fin and be more rounded and have more curves. And upon showing the design to Howard Hughes, he said to her, quote, "You're a genius."
Yeah, you are, Hetty.
Yes, you are, bad bitch. So
she's why planes and shit have like those pointy yet rounded things and like fins on them.
Yes.
That's amazing.
She would change the design of planes to help them go faster. Why don't
all people know about planes is the fucking Wright brothers.
Ugh.
Which, like, good for them, but obviously Hetty's invention made a big difference.
Yeah, because they were like really squared off apparently up until then, and she really like helped change the designs of planes to be more aerodynamic.
Wow.
And so after seeing like he was one of the few people like in Hollywood or in famous circles that really knew how smart she was and how inventive she was, so he put his entire team of engineers and scientists at her disposal to use as she wanted to.
That is the best present.
So Howard Hughes, we know he was cray. We've all seen the movie, but yes. Also he did some cool shit. This is one of them. So now we're getting into World War II territory, into the 40s. So in the 40s sometime, it's not really well documented, but she had read an article that torpedoes could be controlled by radio signals.
Okay.
So she called up a composer and pianist friend of hers, George Antheil, and they worked together to create a device that would jam the radio signals on torpedoes so they would be set off course, because she felt like she was doing nothing sitting up in Hollywood just making these movies, that she wasn't really contributing to this nation that she had come to love.
Oh my God.
So she wanted to do something. So they came up with this crazy awesome, literally brand new communication system that involved using frequency hopping amongst radio waves. So this is when like the transmitter and the receiver hop on new frequencies together.
Oh.
So through the manipulation of radio frequencies at irregular intervals between transmission and reception, their invention formed an unbreakable code to prevent classified messages from being intercepted by enemy personnel.
What the fuck?
Jean, yes. This
How
is also.
How did she do that with her brain space?
She's a genius. So, what is more important about this invention of frequency hopping is that it led to basically the basis of our entire modern lives with Wi-Fi and GPS and Bluetooth.
My mind is blown.
She did this shit in 1942, baby.
And no one knows that she did. Why she? The internet should be called the Hetty Lamarnet.
I agree. That's a much better name anyways. So they patented their invention in 1942, but the Navy, hashtag dicks, were not receptive to their patent because the invention did not come from inside the military.
Oh, blow me.
So her I know, fucking classic military. Ugh. So, but fun times, dickish Navy, they took her idea. And it was later, they found later documents that reveal all of this. They stole her idea and eventually used it.
Of course they did. What the fuck?
And in these documents, it fucking gets worse. they said in their bullshit little small dick documents back to one another that Hedy Lamarr would make a greater contribution to the war effort as a pinup rather than as an adventurer, entertaining troops, pushing war bonds, and selling kisses. I told you to barf. This is my number three.
God. I'm livid. She would make better use as a pinup?
Yes.
Go fuck yourself.
She literally invented an entire new system of radio frequency communication, and they were like, go sell war bonds, bitch.
What is it about these dudes? I don't know. I don't understand, because I'm not an asshole.
No, I'm not a dick. A good idea is a good idea, no matter where it comes from. The little tiny 1940s penises really, really upset about this. That a woman, a woman, came up with an entirely new system of communication that could have helped our shit fucking be more safe.
But then if you show your tits, you're a whore.
Yeah.
But they're like, go show your tits.
Ugh. The worst.
We can't win. Okay, what happened next?
Literally, cannot win. So, after the war, she becomes a naturalized citizen in 1953. She makes her last film in 1958, and she completely withdraws from the public. She's like, I'm done with this. I fucking had it. UFOs is crazy. So, years later, in 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Navy ships were outfitted with an updated version of Hedy and George's design. So, it did actually get implemented in her lifetime. Okay. However, the patent by then had already expired, so she never saw a penny from this, like, groundbreaking invention. Gross, right? And it even remained, like, a super, super Hollywood secret. Like, no one knew about it. It was never publicized. There was only one article in, like, 1941 that mentioned that she was a smart woman and an inventor. Everything else just focused on her looks and how she's, like, this sexy, exultry, exotic woman. It's real gross. Thanks, 40s. So her invention becomes widely known, thankfully, within her lifetime, in the late 1990s, when the implementation of the thing that she invented, spread spectrum technology, becomes like the backbone of cell phones and wireless communication devices. Like, when the digital boom of the 1990s really kicked off, that's when kind of people were like, oh shit, Hedy Lamarr fucking invented this. Almost. It was 60 years later. She invented this thing in the 40s. I cannot even, like, stress that enough. It took 60 years for it to even be implemented on a wide enough scale.
That just blows my mind.
We could have had cell phones, like, in the 60s, y'all.
If men would have just allowed for a woman to invent shit. We could have been on, like,
imagine?
We could have had, like, the iPhone 20 by now.
I know. God, can you imagine how advanced this shit would be by now? Oh, incredible. Anyways, so Hedy and George were finally honored for their invention in 1997 with the Electronic Frontier Pioneer Award.
Ooh.
And then in the same year, Hedy became the first woman ever to receive the Invention Convention, which I love that fucking name.
That sounds like a Schoolhouse Rock thing.
The invention convention.
Love it. What's your invention?
So their award is called the Bulby, like a light bulb. I know. It just keeps getting better.
The Bulby?
It's the invention convention's Bulby. Oh, so good.
I just picture, like, you know, Clippy from Microsoft Word, but like a light bulb.
Light bulb. Can I help you with your invention?
Alex.
Looks like you crossed some wires.
Alex, make us Bulby.
We need Bulby to help us with our inventions. As goofy as this fucking name of this award
is, it's amazing.
Apparently, it is the Oscars of inventing, and she won it in 1997 and was the first woman to ever do so. Bad-ass bitch.
So how old was she in 1997?
Let's see. 83.
Wow.
Yeah. So it took that long for motherfuckers to realize she's smart as hell. So also within this time, her later life had really kind of deteriorated into a lot of seclusion and isolation. She rarely left the house.
I get it.
She only communicated with people by telephone. She rarely saw anyone. And she passed away on January 19th, 2000, and was posthumously inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 2014 and appropriately dubbed the mother of Wi-Fi.
Yes. Yes.
So, my bad bitch, Hedy Lamarr, you're amazing.
Oh, my God.
We wouldn't have this super wonderful world in this podcast or
anything.
Any fun things without Hedy Lamarr.
How is it that Al Gore is over here like, I invented the internet, when Hedy Lamarr clearly invented Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
How is she not getting all of the credit for everything? There better be.
She should be.
Like, why isn't there a statue of her at every fucking Google campus?
I don't know. She was honored with a Google Doodle.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Which is rad, but still. Everyone should know the name of Hedy Lamarr if you have a Wi-Fi device, and everybody do.
I love her.
She's amazing.
Ugh.
Like, did not take zero shits and gave no fucks.
What an inspiration, especially at that time.
Yeah, just running motherfuckers down in the 30s and 40s, doing her dizzle. And she was also married like six times. She gave no fucks.
She didn't care. Cindy Gallup would be so proud.
Yes. Ugh.
I
love her.
I'm so impressed by her. I feel like I need to go invent something.
I know. I feel like I've really been slacking.
Yeah, I'm like over here pre-30. What have I done?
I definitely didn't invent Wi-Fi.
I've had a slew of unsuccessful podcasts.
Hey, we have a lot of good ideas. They're just documented in text messages.
That's true. You did make that book of our ideas.
I did.
You published?
I feel like there's a volume 3 and 4 are forthcoming.
You published a book.
Yeah. Did I? I just told someone else to print it and gave it to 3 people.
I mean, that's published.
Okay.
What? Let me Google the actual definition of published.
Okay. I mean, it was a gift for you guys, so I don't know if that counts as being put. Is a gift published?
Okay. Prepare and issue a book, journal, piece of music, or other work for public sale.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're not published.
It was not for sale.
That's not for sale.
I made no monies. In fact, I spent monies.
Like this podcast.
Yeah.
Why do we keep doing this? Why aren't people paying us to do things?
I don't know.
Pay us. Pay Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
Wow.
Give ladies their due, whether they're the inventors of Wi-Fi or podcasters.
Yeah, or anything. Give
or literally anything.
Give women credit and money.
That's all we're asking for. It's not a whole lot.
Wow.
We don't want dicks or anything. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Not interested.
Just a bulby every now and then.
Just give me an invention convention bulby.
God.
I didn't know it was something I wanted until now, and now I can't get over it.
Yeah, I must have it.
I don't know what we need to do to get a bulby. I'm gonna reckon that the bar is pretty high.
We have to probably do some sort of engineering.
Sure. I can draw some sketches.
What about, like, some writing awards?
Mm-hmm.
We could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll invent a new form of writing.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
It will be called Stream of Consciousness.
But it'll have a new name, and we're not going to tell you what it is because it's top secret inventing.
It'll be stuff. Puddles of Consciousness.
Ooh, I like that. TM. It's trademarked. You can't have it.
Yep, TM, guys. We already ran filing it through.
Yeah, it's in the patent office right now.
So I would like for you to tell me a story now because I'm real excited because you've made some real interesting choices and I'm very excited for what's next.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a story of a lady as well. So this fucking lady podcast, we were just, look, you guys, our brainwaves, me and Carmen are so far apart, and yet our brains are so in sync.
We both did sexy time dudes last week, and now we're both doing ladies this week.
Ugh. It's great. And we don't talk about this before. No. We have no idea. It's amazing.
Zero ideas. We just go into this unprepared here again. Very on brand.
Get you a friend that reads your brain space.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the story of Princess Caribou.
I'm in.
Yes, and it's Carabo, not as in caribou, like the animal.
Got it. So like I'm enjoying the spelling already.
Yeah, so like Caribou. So it's like spooky season.
Love it.
I did want to call out, I got most of my information from Wikipedia, of course. A website called The Vintage News and another website called mysteriouspeople.com, which looks like a fucking GeoCities webpage from the 90s.
Yes, our listeners can't see me, but I'm fist pumping in the air because I love this so much.
It's fantastic. Okay, so are you ready to learn about this princess?
I'm so excited about Princess Caribou.
Okay, but she should have been more of like a queen because she's amazing. So some people might know this story from the 1994 film Princess Caribou, starring Phoebe Cates of Drop Dead Fred and Gremlins fame.
What?
Jim Broadbent. Yep, Jim Broadbent, who played our good friend Professor Slughorn in Harry Potter. My man. And John Lithgow.
What? Okay, I have to Google this. Continue, but I'm Googling.
This movie had everything. Stars, crazy outfits, a wild plot. It's insane.
Oh, I am in.
Yes. This movie's amazing. So what people didn't realize is that this movie is a true story. This movie is batshit bonkers, and the story, the actual story, is even crazier. So I'm going to take you back to April 3rd, 1817, to a village called Almondsbury, which sounds like a dessert from Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, that is the most British name.
Almondsbury.
Mm. It's where scones come from.
Yes. It was near Bristol in England. So all of a sudden, on April 3rd, 1817, this woman in, quote, exotic clothes wearing a turban just appeared in the streets.
As turban-clad women normally do.
Right. And everyone's like, the fuck? And she didn't speak any English. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew what to do. And everyone was just like, there's this lady, like, speaking gibberish out in the middle of the street dressed in, like, Chiquita banana clothes. So they took her to the local magistrate named his name was Samuel Worrell. And she met with him and his wife, Elizabeth. And they could not understand what the fuck she was saying, or like what was happening. But all this woman kept doing was pointing to herself and saying caribou, and that was it. So they bring her to the local inn, and apparently there was like a drawing of a pineapple, and she just started screaming nanas. And I guess pineapple in several Indonesian languages is nanas. So they were like, So they were like, okay, clearly she's not from here. But then the magistrate, Samuel Worrell, decided that she was a beggar and she was put in jail for being a vagrant.
Oh.
Which is like real cool. That's so fucked up.
Hey, you're poor. Let's just put you in jail.
Right. I mean, I guess in one hand, it's like she was like put inside and like, they fed her, but it's still, like, not okay to, like, incarcerate someone for being homeless. That's just not okay.
Yeah, like, I don't understand your funny words, and you look weird, so just
like, fuck you. So while she's in prison, she meets a Portuguese sailor named Manuel Inyeso, who he was like, oh, I know this language, and was able to translate her story. So it turns out that this woman was Princess Caribou from the island of Javasu, somewhere in the Indian Ocean. And she had been traveling from her home island to England, and they were attacked by pirates, and she was held captive. So I know. So
what?
Yes. So she jumped overboard like some Claire and Outlander shit, jumps overboard and swims through the English Channel and escapes.
Oh.
And that's how she ended up in Almondsbury.
What a badass bitch.
Right. So.
You just straight up escaped pirates, jumped off a ship, swam the English Channel, NBD, and just, like, strode up on some crazy English village.
Showed up and had, like, a cute-ass turban and some, like, cute outfit. And you're, yes. And you're like, what's up? So she was telling this tale of, okay, so she talked about her dad and how he was this, like, high-ranking guy in her island, and she like spoke in great detail about her little garden at home and how she used to take baths and put peacock feathers in her hair. And so she was finally like connecting with somebody who like spoke her language. So I know. So then upon learning, so the Worrells got word from, I guess, the jail that somebody had been speaking to her, and they learned that she was this mysterious royal. So they were like, okay, you're obviously not a vagrant. You can come chill in our house. So they provided her with food and housing. They give her all of these clothes, and she's like on their grounds. She was fencing and doing archery and swimming naked. And praying to a god that she called Alatala, which one of the sources said is the formal name for God in Islam. Not sure if that's true. That's just what these sources said. So
sure, we'll take it.
Right. So the Worrells were like stoked about having this princess in their house. Like, how cool. And she was like so fabulous and like fun. And, you know, she was like introducing them to all of these new things, and they were bragging about it to people all over town. And so everybody started talking about this woman. All they wanted to do is know about her and her home island, and all of these painters came to like paint her portrait, and all the newspapers were writing about her, and like this doctor came and authenticated her story using what was called the Pantographia by Edmund Fry, which was at the time a collection of alphabets and languages.
That's crazy.
So she had some like really weird marks on the back of her head, and he had determined that they were from a procedure done by Oriental surgeons.
What?
So like
that
everything in her
sketchy as hell.
Right. So everything in her story like clicked, and her fame continued to grow, but then the truth was revealed.
What?
This bitch was a scammer.
Yes.
I love a good scammer. So Princess Caribou was not a princess at all. That was not her name. She wasn't from an exotic island. Her name was Mary Wilcox, and she was from a small town in England called Witheridge.
Oh, I love her even more now.
I know, don't you?
I do. I thought she was a badass before, and now I'm like, get yours.
Mm. I know. So this woman who ran a boarding house named Mrs. Neal had recognized a portrait of Princess Caribou in the newspapers in Bristol. And they were like, that lady looks really familiar. She was actually this a cobbler's daughter who had been going around London or going around England as she was a servant girl, but she could never find a steady job, and she couldn't find like a house that would like let her stay there and be like a servant. So she just one day was like, fuck it. I'm going to make up this story and just see what happens.
I love it. That's a detailed ass backstory.
Right? I mean, she had everything. She was talking about the kind of tea that she drank and, like, you know, the animals running around in her yard and all this shit and, like, made up a fucking place. Like, she had the deets.
Get it, girl. And the language and everything, that's commitment.
Right. And it's not like this was a time where they had, you know, supercomputer in their hand, boop, boop, like, oh, I mm-hmm. can't just Google Javasu and see where this island is. Like, nobody fucking knew. It's the 1800s.
That's amazing.
So it turns out that the marks on the back of her head were actually from a weird cupping operation that was done at a poorhouse hospital.
Oh, my.
Yep. And then she had been, like, the language that she was speaking, it was just kind of like a combination of gibberish and some, like, words from all different languages. So she had, like, learned how to draw these, like, symbols that she was able to fool, like, that first doctor with. But, like, she wasn't actually, like, speaking a language.
That's amazing.
But people believed her. She just had such confidence.
I love it. I love the commitment to the story.
I know.
It's amazing.
I know. It's amazing.
Because I was going to say earlier, Anana is pineapple in French.
Yeah. So, like, and some, there were, like, bits of truths from everything that she said. But, yeah, it's just crazy. And, like, the other thing that gets me is that she was, like, a white girl. Like, so everyone was like, oh, she's this, like, exotic woman. It's like, no, she was just, like, a white girl in, like, she maybe had a tan.
That's true. I didn't even think about it. She's, like, from up the road. And they're like, oh, my God, she's so exotic.
So exotic.
Look at her with her white skin.
Oh. She was very pretty. I'll make sure you see the portrait.
Well, so, if they cast Phoebe Cates, that says a lot right there.
She pretty much looked exactly like Phoebe Cates, like, in the 1800s.
Oh, Phoebe Cates, shout out to you, baby girl.
Just a stunner.
She's stunning.
I love her.
To this day.
Yes. Stunning. She looks incredible. So, people were pissed.
Oh, she's a yellow stupid.
People were so mad that they got duped. And the papers were, like, skewering her for, quote, duping the middle class. It was a complete mess. I just picture people with, like, pitchforks and, you know, torches and stuff. Like, they were just so mad that they had been got by this woman.
I bet it was a lot of dudes, too.
Yes. And they were just bamboozled. And that's the other thing. Like, all these men were coming to, like, visit with her and, like, talk to her and, like, giving her proposals and all these things because she was a princess. But she wasn't. She was just a servant girl.
Got a girl.
I know. So Elizabeth Worrell felt really bad and, like, wanted to kind of help her out. Like, she still really cared about this girl. And she was, like, clearly, like, something is wrong with her. Like, I need to get her out of this place safely. So she gives her money and sends her on a boat to Philadelphia in 1816, I think. Mm-hmm. So she arrives in the United States and she's like, I'm going to do this story again.
Oh, yes. I love this. Yes, girl, reuse that content.
Right? I mean, no one's going to know. You're across the pond.
Yeah.
Who fuck cares? But this time she took some learnings from round one. Right. And she was like, I'm going to use this as, like, a stage thing. And so she becomes a performer and uses Princess Caribou as her stage name and basically does a one-woman play.
I love this.
What, I wish I could have seen this. I'm sure it was incredible.
That's genius, because then if anybody like tries to front on her, she'd just be like, it's fiction, clearly.
Yeah, it's a play. Get an art degree.
Yeah, God.
You just
think
don't,
outside of
you just don't
the
understand.
Bun.
You think outside the bun. This episode's sponsored by Crunchwrap Supremes.
I might have almost stopped at Taco Bell earlier today.
I fucking love Taco Bell.
It's the best.
It's so
Dude,
good.
Can we talk about nacho fries for like 30 seconds?
They are the greatest thing.
They're so fucking good. It doesn't make any sense.
It's so much cheese and just in your mouth.
The seasoning with the crunch with the cheese.
It's got all you need, really.
It's got all the food groups.
It's the best.
You're good to go.
Taco Bell, please sponsor us.
Oh, we will talk about Taco Bell products all day long. Sorry, Princess Caribou, hard left on that one. We're back
please,
now.
Please send Carmen and I to a Taco Bell for us to reunite and stuff our faces.
Can you imagine? We just meet like at a Taco Bell that's halfway between you and me.
In like fucking, I don't even know what's halfway, but like Kansas or something. I don't even know where that is.
Just share some nacho fries and a Baja Blast. What a great day. One Baja Blast, two straws.
It would be so cute.
It would be the best. Taco Bell, make this happen. It will go viral.
Thanks. It will. It will. Just
Asterisk,
to Alex,
no promises.
Though. Alex watches it 1,000 times.
It's just Alex over and over again.
Oh my god. Okay.
Episode 4, shout out to Alex. Nailed.
Got it. So she does this one woman play. It bombs. People are like, what the fuck?
Oh, bummer. I would go see the shit out of that.
I know. So she sends a letter to the Worrells in 1817 to complain about her fame and notoriety.
Wait, did you say she sent a letter to the world?
The Worrells, the people who had, like, put her up.
Oh, the family.
Okay. Yes, to the world.
Send a letter to the world to complain about a few things also.
I have some complaints.
I've got a list, a running list, that I would like to send to the world, please.
Yes. Yeah, so she basically like kept her ruse going of like, I'm super famous, and they're like, that was the last time they heard from her. Eventually she returned to England. This was in 1824, where she again in her new little village in England tried to do the Princess Caribou Entertainment Act.
Well, see, now, girl, about this time, you got to get some new material.
Right? Like, a new name or, like, literally anything else.
Anything.
Juggle.
You got to get a new type 5 going.
Get an act. Like, there are no details about, like, her play, so I don't know if it was, like, her standing, like, telling this tale or, like, what was even happening.
Was it a comedy? We don't know.
Is it a drama?
Were there wig changes?
These
unclear. Are important things we need
we
to
don't know. Was there music?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do one of those, half of you is like Princess Caribou, half of you is Mary Wilcox?
God,
you
I
know?
Hope it was that. I'm gonna, in my mind, that's what it is now.
That's, it's the Sonny and Cher
yeah,
split.
Just keeps turning left to right.
But with her, it's just the same costume. She just doesn't stop turning.
No, she just keeps, it's like circles. And then she gets dizzy, and then that's the end.
Yep, that's it.
Curtains.
Nailed it. I can't believe it didn't work. Yeah, it still didn't work. She was super unsuccessful. And then by 1828, she had taken on yet another identity when she was living in Bedminster. She stole the identity of her cousin, a widow named Mary Burgess.
She's really setting the bar high for crazy.
Just straight scamming all over the place. So she then, later that year, marries a guy named Richard Baker. So she becomes Mary Baker. And they had a daughter named Mary Ann. And she spent the rest of her life selling leeches to the Bristol Infirmary Hospital.
What a lady.
We took a big turn from princess to scammer to entertainer to leech sales lady.
With a brief detour into identity theft.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
What a woman.
I know. So she then died on Christmas Eve in 1864, either from a heart attack or a fall. Nobody really knows.
Those are two different things.
Two different things. And she was buried in an unmarked grave, sadly, in the Hebron Road Cemetery.
Wow.
And that is this fucking lady, Princess Caribou.
What a woman.
Honestly, she was incredible.
She was. I'm really surprised that nowhere in any of that that she ended up in, like, an asylum.
Right.
I really thought that was where that was going.
I did, too, when I was going through it. And I was like, she's definitely going to get put somewhere. But nope. Everyone's just like, just go home.
Just go.
Just
get out of here, you scamp. Take it on down the road.
I just love that she had, like, conned the worlds so much that they were like, we feel bad for you, we're still gonna pay your way.
That's kind of legit.
It's like really, it's really kind of them, but also like, you stupid.
You so dumb. Why are you so dumb?
So dumb. It's kind of, it's reminding me of that tale that just happened, of that like actual story of the orphan, like the real life. Did you hear about this?
Mm-mm.
This couple got arrested for, like, child neglect, but they were like, no, this girl we adopted who we thought was six is actually, like, a 20-year-old woman who tried to kill us.
Stop!
Yes. It's, like, happening, like, they just found the girl this week because the family fucking fled to Canada.
Oh, my God. What an insane story.
Yeah, it's, like, real life The Orphan, like, the horror movie.
Yep. Oh, gracias.
Yeah, but she was just like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of whoever I can and see what happens. Roll with it.
You know, today, Princess Caribou, YouTube star. Hands down.
Oh, first, or like an influencer on Instagram. Oh,
a million times over.
One of those like travel influencers.
Oh, God, you know it.
Who gets to go on all those like Revolve around the world vacations.
Yeah, just like some bullshit accent that's nondescript.
Right. It's like very ambiguous, so nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, wearing some bullshit crazy outfit.
Yeah, something that no one would ever wear in real life.
Yeah.
Because it's insanely uncomfortable.
Exactly. Ugh. Princess Caribou would def be a YouTube star now.
Yeah, I love that.
She was just born in the wrong era.
She really was. Like, this is the era for scammers. I have so many scammers on my list of people I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would be up there for sure.
Yeah.
But I love the commitment to just scamming white people.
And this
people.
Was, like a long-ass time of her doing this.
I'm into
like,
it.
She really committed. And I have to wonder, too, like, okay, she obviously cooked up this story, but then I think once she got arrested and put in jail, then she, like, escalated it. And I have a feeling, there's not a lot of info about this, but the guy, the sailor that she met in jail, I'm like, he had to have been in on it.
You think? That's a good question.
Well, she didn't actually speak Portuguese.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was like, oh, I know her language. I can translate her story.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
So, like, was he in on it? And was, like, whatever she was getting from the family that she was staying with, was she giving him some kickbacks?
Ooh. Yeah, just a little,
I don't know.
A little off the top.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
hey,
know.
Help me verify that I'm a princess from Indonesia. And I'm going to get you a little something.
even though I'm super white.
I mean, I guess like a lot of white people in England at that time probably didn't see a lot of brown people.
That's true. That is true.
So they were probably like, oh yeah, she's from somewhere else. Yeah, sure.
Right. Well, and she had been like, she was like a working girl. So she was like, you know.
She got some sunshine.
She had some sunshine. She probably had like 3 freckles.
Yeah. And they were like, oh.
Yeah.
They're like, who is you?
How exotic.
Crazy town.
I know.
I love her though. She's an icon.
I love her too. I love her too. I feel like she and Hedy Lamarr would have been friends.
Icons. Icons.
Hedy Lamarr would have been like, girl, I'm going to help you get your life together. Get you in a real entertainment situation.
Yeah. Like, let's get you on a stage for real because you seem real committed to your craft.
Yes. Let's just get you in the right circumstances.
So do you want to do Kate's suggestion of a crazy person that we met this week?
I do. Do you have one?
I kind of have a baby one that I was thinking about that literally happened today.
Right. Tell me.
So I was in the grocery store. I was in the medication/vitamins aisle. Looking around for what I'm looking for because Kyle's had some things this week. My husband had his wisdom teeth ripped out of his face in his 30s, and it's been a real long slog, listeners.
Don't wait to get your wisdom teeth out.
Get them bitches out as soon as you can. It's not cute in your 30s. So it's been a real long week, so I'm in the medication aisle looking for some things to help out my honey. And these two gentlemen of a methy nature, if you will.
Okay.
Clothes far too large for their bodies. A little dirty. Little, you know, 13-year-old stash on one of them.
I hate that.
Yeah, it was real gross. They were of a very drugged out, methy nature. Come into the aisle and they're kind of looking around. And I'm like, let's see what happens here. Assuming that they were going to be trying to get cold medicine.
Right.
And so they're looking around and they seem very confused. And I'm just standing there doing my thing. And one of them turns to me and goes, would you know where the prenatal vitamins are?
Oh!
And I was like, literally standing next to a wall of vitamins. And I was like, well, I would assume
somewhere.
Literally right here. And so they turn around and they start looking. And I'm like, or buy baby stuff, which is the next aisle over. And so like, oh, yeah. So they go to the baby stuff aisle. So I'm like, that was interesting. Please, God, don't let either of those people have procreated. But yeah.
Wow.
That was upsetting. It was a real upsetting end to that because that made me sad in my heart.
Yeah, that is sad.
I didn't like it. And then I saw them again when I was leaving. I was pulling out of the parking lot going to leave. And here they come crossing the street with their little prenatal vitamins in a bag, smoking weed because I live in Colorado and that's legal. Yep. Just smoking a straight up blunt walking across the grocery store parking lot with a bag of prenatal vitamins.
I
was like, this is not a satisfying end.
I have a lot of questions about where they were going.
Yeah, I have questions about where they came from, where they're going, what their lives are like, why they decided to not do something better than have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. It was distressing.
That is distressing. Okay, so this happened today. I was in the elevator on the way home from work. Like, I work on the top floor of a high rise. And so it's a long elevator ride. And I had my headphones in and my sunglasses on. Clearly my don't fucking talk to me.
Yeah, that you've got the fuck off accoutrements on.
Right, and I have resting bitch face anyway, and so then on my way down, we stopped on another floor, and these two very douchey businessmen get in, and I see them, because I have my sunglasses on, and they're mirrored lenses, and I can just see them, like, up and downing me, and I didn't like that. And they're talking about some business trip and how they're going to, like, stay a couple extra days to, like, golf or whatever. I don't give a fuck. So we get down to the first floor and the elevator doors open, and the both of them hold their arm up. They're on opposite sides of the elevator, so they each reached an arm out to, like, hold the door open for me to walk out. And they were like, ma'am? And I was like, no, I'm good. You go. Like, because I'm, like, checking emails. I'm, like, about to hop on a call for work.
Yeah.
And they start arguing with me.
Oh!
About, no, like, and they were getting mad that I would not exit the elevator before them. And I was like, and I said, I was like, just fucking go. And they did not like that very much.
Like, you're physically closer to the exit. Just exit.
They literally were, I was at the back of the elevator leaning against the wall, and they were at the very front.
Yeah.
And that's the most interesting interaction I've had all week.
That's real gross. I don't like it.
It's annoying. It happens all the time. Like, dudes, if you, like, if a woman's holding a door open because she happened to get there before you, just walk through it.
It's cool.
We don't fucking care.
There also doesn't need to be a whole production.
It doesn't need to be a fucking two-man show of exiting an elevator. Like, I was busy, so, like, kindly leave, you know?
Yeah. Fuck off. You could have forgotten something in your office and needed to go back upstairs. What the fuck business is it of theirs?
It's not your business.
Just leave the goddamn elevator. We don't need to have a discussion. You don't know my life.
You just wasted 5 seconds of my life.
Ugh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's gross.
It's okay. It was gross, but, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, also, appreciate the gesture of holding the elevator doors open. Not knocking that. That's a nice gesture. But if someone's like, I'm good, and then you persist to tell them that they are wrong, fuck you in your face.
Yeah. Fuck you right in your stupid sexist face. I don't need your chivalry. I don't care. Just be a good human. Just be a decent human. It's not hard.
Yeah, just peace out. Like, clearly this person is not buying what you're selling. Fuck off. Ugh.
Blech. Yeah, but that was that. It's fine.
That's fine. Because then we have people in the world like Princess Caribou giving us life.
And Hedy Lamarr.
Just giving us life.
Giving us so much life.
Mm. Get your life.
Love it.
Mm, so all good. Right. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed these fun adventures.
This has been so fun, as usual.
Thank you for bringing Princess Caribou into my life.
Thank you for giving me
I'm going to go watch this wild-ass movie.
Yes, it's so good. You're going to love it. Thank you for telling me more that I did not know about Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah, Wifi.
She's fabulous.
Big ups to a lady for inventing Wifi.
Yeah. Cool. Well, like we said at the top of the show, follow us on the socials, on the Hedy Lamarr internet.
Yeah.
Email us. If you could please leave us some great reviews on iTunes, that's going to help us out a lot. We really are trying to get some traction on the show.
Yeah. Don't talk about the audio quality. We know it's an issue. We got it.
We know. Yeah, we're working on it.
We got it.
Give us monies on our Patreon page at patreon.com/thisfuckingguypod. So that we can get better equipment to provide you with better quality stories.
And better quality entertainment.
Yeah. Like, it'll be less stress on us, and therefore, better entertainment for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's only up from here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we really can't get any worse.
We are at the base level.
Yeah, we're at rock bottom right now, so.
It can truly only get better, one would hope.
Until then.
So long, friends. Be your own fucking guy.
Be your own fucking guy.
I love you, friend.
I love you, friend.
Bye.
Okay, bye.